So I want to welcome our two local folks. Robert Ratner, MPHMD, is the coordinator for the Alameda County Healthcare Reform Pilot Project, also known as Health PAC. And he's also our Housing Services Director. I'm from Alameda County. Robert fills both positions for Alameda County Behavioral Healthcare Services in Oakland, California. As Health PAC coordinator, Robert works with mental health, substance use, and primary care providers to expand and improve healthcare for uninsured Alameda County residents, and he also promotes cross-system collaborations and also develops innovative models of care. Robert received his public health and medical training from the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of California, San Francisco. He's a volunteer faculty member at the UC Berkeley School of Public Health, and he has over 15 years of experience working on healthcare services integration. Clara Boyden is manager of the Alcohol and Drug Services Department in San Mateo County, California. She coordinates the implementation of the substance use treatment benefit for San Mateo County's healthcare reform pilot. So again, we have the partnership up here for you. Clara's responsibilities also include behavioral health and healthcare integration, increasing the capability of providers to support clients with substance use and mental health challenges through learning collaboratives, another theme for you guys who are looking for actionable items, building cross-functional teams to implement process improvement strategies, and creating a coordinated and culturally appropriate trauma-informed system of care. Clara has 12 years experience experiencing county mental health programs, and her areas of interest in building system-level change include supporting individual and community health, promoting health equity, and advancing social and economic justice. You guys should all have guys like this at the local level, right? So I want to welcome both of these folks up.
Thank you, Margaret.
So tell us about the challenges.
So we're getting toward the end of our session, and Claire and I figured we had to make it more interesting to keep people's attention. And we're in the Bay Area, so our presentation is based on, I better move that away, a Star Wars theme. So the first slide here shows our color coding. As we go through the presentation, the greenish color or bluish color are examples of some things we're doing in Alameda County, and the reddish color is some examples of things we're doing in San Mateo County. So on this Star Wars theme, I want you all to leave here remembering that the Force is with you, and change is possible, and that all of you have deep down within you a Luke Skywalker, and we'll tell you more about what we think the Luke Skywalker elements are in a second. But first, we must start with the dark side. So in our local integration efforts, sort of in the context of state and federal policy changes, there are things that on the ground level have been challenging. And this is a laundry list of things that Claire and I brainstormed. I'll go through them quickly. Federally qualified health center payment issues. That in California, we exclude payment for same-day visits. There's changes to how costs are incorporated now that impact our work. There's a tension between the medical model and the public health model. I have here versus, but for me as a physician and a public health person, it's really with. How does the medical model work with the public health model rather than against? So moving from just focusing on the individual to the population as a whole, and that change in mindset is a big part of what we need to work on. Fear of change, stating the obvious, but it's really a challenge when you're talking about changing people's behavior day to day. That fear of change is something you have to grapple with. I think we have some behavioral health people in the room. Motivational interviewing, you got to start at the right stage of change. So if someone's in pre-contemplation, you're not going to be ramming stuff down their throat. Pay attention to that. Funding carve-outs, we had the nice picture of silos already. We have a lot of silos, mental health, substance use, primary care. So breaking open those silos and getting people to work together is a big challenge. Our workforce is not cross-trained, and I know some people in the room are working on that issue. This idea that health insurance matters is fairly new to mental health and behavioral health professionals because a lot of their work has been funded through special carve-outs. So we're doing a fair amount to bring up the knowledge that health insurance matters and explaining how people can enroll, and et cetera. We'll get more into that. Confidentiality and information sharing. I can't tell you how many times I've heard in a meeting with someone in primary care or a substance use field, well, HIPAA says. Well, HIPAA doesn't say a lot of the things that people say it says. So there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding. I think preserving people's right to own their health information is critical, but I don't think we want to create barriers that don't exist in working across our silos. And part of that is asking permission from the people we serve to share information. And surprisingly, many people would like us to coordinate more across our systems. I've been in many meetings again about IT miracle cures. So in our county, we said, oh, if we all pick the same system, all of a sudden, decades of not communicating with each other are going to be fixed. Don't believe it. It's not true. It actually makes things worse in some cases. And that's, I think, where we are in our county. This assumption that IT is going to cure all of our problems that we haven't dealt with. Professional turf wars, so psychologists, MFTs, social workers, physicians, that's a lot of fun that we deal with on the darker side. Lack of substance use treatment funding is particularly poignant in the state of California. So within the mental health field or primary care field, the lack of resources to adequately treat substance use problems is a huge barrier. I've been in conversations where, as we talk about integration, folks get really interested in, let's screen for depression, let's screen for PTSD. Well, we screen for everything and treat nothing. Watch out for that. It's a form of the dark force. You have to build up the capacity before you start screening. And then we're all grappling with, on some level, more responsibility with fewer resources. Part of the push of California is to move responsibility for healthcare to the local level. What they don't tell you is that they're actually pushing the responsibility with less money. And if at the local level we happen to perform better than the state did, they're going to keep a lot of the money, and so will the feds. So it's an unfortunate dark force situation for many of us at the county level. But now we have the lighter force yoga, and we're presenting in an integrated fashion, so bear with us. We'll be going up and down.
Yes, in the true spirit of integration, we've really integrated our presentation here, so we will be back and forth. So there are many dark forces that are barriers potentially for integration, but we also have our integration YODAs, or integration supports. And certainly the Affordable Care Act has created a lot of those through the patient-centered healthcare homes, the Medicaid coverage expansion, the essential benefits and parity. So those are things that a lot of the speakers have already spoken about today, so I'm not going to highlight those too much now in the sake of time for more local examples later. But again, there's just been a big emphasis on ensuring that there is a shared responsibility for the client and that the financial incentives align with that. There's also some integration forces locally that you'll have to find on your own when you go back to your local state or your local county. We found here in California, unrestricted funding, if you have access to any of that, has been a huge support. We have the Mental Health Services Act. In my local county, we have a very supportive board of supervisors that has provided some funding for us that have been able to allow us to do some pilots and to really start integrating now, sometimes even before the funding is available. And then I think the most important thing is really having leaders and teams of people who embrace the change, who see this as progress, who want to get out of the cycle, the silos, and are really willing to work together, plan together to make, to really realize the benefits that the Affordable Care Act sets out. So those are our integration YODAs, and I have a few more local examples of in California of how we're really seeing these YODAs in action. I think one of the most exciting things that we have here in California is that we have been able to do some early implementation of health benefits, of benefits for the Medicaid coverage population, expansion population. California, through an 1115 waiver with the federal government, was able to create our low-income health programs. Those programs are allowing health benefits, mental health benefits, and in many counties, substance use disorder treatment benefits to be provided to those folks who will be eligible in 2014 for the Medicaid expansion now. So they're eligible now. This has been a huge force in my county, San Mateo County, for beginning to integrate substance use, mental health, primary care. And I really encourage you to look for other opportunities within your system to have that shared accountability with care through things like the ACO and really creating healthcare homes, even if 2014 isn't really here yet. around health payment reform. We've got some pay-for-performance contracting. In our county, we've actually done a pilot on having a case rate where a provider, a substance use provider, cares for the client for a full year, having a case rate for each client. That's very innovative in our county. I can't say enough about just looking at the leadership and ensuring that you yourself are being a leader in healthcare reform, that you're finding other Yodas like yourself who are eager to create this change, and that you take a process that Dr. Naylor Goodwin spoke of earlier of continuous quality improvement. Using learning collaboratives has been incredibly powerful in our county, with being able to understand, starting small with a pilot, shifting it when you need to, and then further refining till you really get where you need to go. So those are some of our integration Yodas.
So I'm going to go back to Luke Skywalker. You all have it in you. These are the things that Claire and I have found in terms of characteristics of the people we work with, and we hope that we try to model some of these things in our own work that are really critical to supporting integration. One is people that have multidisciplinary training or experiences, people who've worked across different settings, strong customer focus. So there's a mantra in the mental health consumer movement: nothing about us without us, or the Toyota way some people who have MBAs talk about. Focusing on the people that are impacted by your proposed changes, a population health orientation, being willing to tolerate ambiguity, risk, and frequent change, being willing to work in a team. People who can cross over traditional boundaries and can communicate across those silos are really critical. Along with that, specific skills around mediation and conflict resolution, trust building, relationship building. And then action-oriented learning style, I think, is really critical. So we talked about quality improvement. I think part of that in such a dynamic healthcare setting that we work in now in terms of policy and local change, you have to be willing to learn by doing. So those learning collaboratives and constantly trying to improve upon your efforts is really critical. And Yoda had a saying that's very appropriate: do or do not, there is no try. So in our work, we try to be clear. We're either doing it or we're not doing it, and we're moving away from saying we're trying it. Building on this theme, we have 7 episodes instead of 6 for Star Wars that highlight some of the big, broad areas where we work in. We had to add a 7th. I'm not sure why. We couldn't fit it in 6. So we're going to quickly go through some of these broad areas where we're doing some local work, and then we'll hopefully have time for questions.
Oh, all right. Uniting our rebel forces and getting out of our silos. That's our first episode under our Star Wars theme here. We are never going to be able to integrate care unless we start planning together. I mean, we need to move beyond trying to coordinate and sitting down at the table and really planning together as we own these clients, these patients. They're in all of our systems. Tom Renfrey and Sandra Goodwin, Naylor Goodwin really described earlier what the true costs to our medical, to our whole health system are, and to families and individuals if we don't start coordinating care and taking care of the whole person. So this bullet just sort of, this slide highlights some key bullets. But around the substance use treatment world, I just want to highlight that one of the first big things is we need to recognize that we need to start partnering with primary care and getting out of the, or I shouldn't say getting out of, but historically, at least in California, our key treatment partner has been the criminal justice system. And so we have a deep, deep relationships with the criminal justice system. We know how to partner with the probation officer, but we're really struggling to figure out how to partner with mental health, let alone primary care. So this is something that the substance use world really needs to get a handle on and start now. It's never too late to start and look for formal and informal opportunities to do this and start by just planning projects together and figuring out what you could do and changing and moving forward. But that's been really, really, I think this is foundational for substance use providers particularly. A couple examples of how we've planned together. In the substance use disorder field, again, 5 years ago in San Mateo County, we didn't even know our health plan, let alone a lot of other folks within the system. By joining forces with mental health and becoming behavioral health, and then working with primary care, and then working with our health plan of San Mateo, we're a county-organized system, we were able to access the resources and the benefits for our clients through the low-income health program. And now we're coordinating together, and it's because we've been at the table. Now, we've been at the table 4 or 5 years together, but we've made tremendous strides, and you can too. You just have to start now. I'm going to pass another example on to Robert here.
So we don't have a county organized system in Alameda County, but we're a two-plan county, and what we've tried to do is to build a stronger partnership with our public plan. So we have a contractual relationship where they're helping us to manage our extension of services to folks who will be eligible for Medicaid. We also are doing innovative contracting with partners. For example, we have a contract with our community health consortium. So they're the entity that co-sponsors and supports our local FQHCs, or Federally Qualified Health Centers. So episode two, we have some data people in the room, thank you. Data is really critical part of this integration effort, and some areas where we've been focusing at the county level, utilization management across systems, so looking outside of the systems that we find ourselves working in, but bringing together information to find out, well, if someone has a mental health issue, are they showing up in the emergency room frequently? Are they showing up in our local jails? Can we start to look at that information together? Analyzing the health status of populations. We're in a public health conference. I think it's really critical for our integration efforts. Tracking outcomes over time, deciding what it is we're trying to produce in terms of health, and tracking whether or not we're successful. That's a key part of our learning collaboratives as well. If we don't know what we're trying to do, it's hard to know if we're successful. And then the cost of care, I find, is a big leverage point. Dr. Naylor would mention this. Exposing our partners to the cost of inadequately treated behavioral health conditions is really critical. So the more we bring cost data to the table and look at that information across our silos, the more impact we seem to have in building those partnerships. And San Mateo has some great examples of this work.
Again, I just want to highlight that you know, when you go back to your home counties or states or organizations, look to your data and see how you can build the case for integration, because there's a very strong case there. We heard one earlier from the state presenters. But you won't be able to see that data unless you develop systems to do that. And so San Mateo County, we have a data book that we look at every year, where we have our AOD, our substance use data, and our mental health data pulled together, and we do special studies annually to really look at, well, how is the health, or how are we doing in coordination, or why aren't we seeing, you know, we're not seeing the substance use diagnoses in our mental health system that we would expect. So it gives us ideas of where to look for future work. We've been you know, we're looking at data analytics software to help us with that. We're in the process of developing performance management reporting tools that really are system-wide and that are integrating mental health and substance use. So we're still in the process of trying to integrate mental health and substance use, and we still have a lot to do with primary care, but this is a really good step in learning how to do it. You'll be able to apply it also to primary care. We're really working hard to have an integrated electronic health record. There are many challenges with 42 CFR, which is the federal confidentiality regulations. There's some advocacy around that so that we can have better coordinated care. And we're developing a system that if 42 CFR changes, that we would be able to open it up and really have the data, the client level data visible to all treating providers within the system. All right, episode three, our policies and procedures of what we do and how we do it and who does it and when. This is really critical. I know a lot of people, you know, kind of think, oh, your own policies and procedures. I like sitting down together with my new partners and designing a new system, and this is so exciting. And that's really critical. But if we don't actually put that into practice through policies and procedures, we're really dependent on those same people being at the table. And when you have transitions in your system, things will fall apart. So you need to document what you do and how you do it through clearly defined policies and procedures. That's how we're going to create the culture of integration with mental health, substance use, and primary care, is by documenting it and in policy.
Skip this.
We have just a couple local examples. In our behavioral health, we've implemented an expert screening, brief intervention, referral to treatment. Within our hospital environment, which has been exciting, it's inpatient. We get inpatient referrals, and we have a drug and alcohol assessor who will actually go in, assess the client, do brief treatment if needed of 8 to 10 sessions, and can also refer to a specialty provider if more is needed. We have a lot of examples within our system and within the Alameda County system of how we've really worked to integrate behavioral health and within the primary care system. If you want to talk more about these examples and what we did and how we did it, please feel free to contact Dr. Ratner or myself. Our contact information is on the slides.
All right, the movie reel is ending. We got to go faster. So another big area that people often forget about is we talk about all these wonderful benefits that are going to be available to people with expanded coverage. They actually have to get in. They have to have coverage. They have to document that they're eligible. So we are doing a lot of work to make sure that we're recruiting eligible folks to get into programs that exist. We're helping a lot of our folks drop off of insurance plans because they don't turn the paperwork in, they don't verify their income, they miss an appointment. This is huge, and I don't want to underestimate how important this is. So some examples of what we're doing are developing particular strategies at the local level, trying to make it as easy as possible for people to enroll. In our county, we have about 6 different electronic portals, and each portal thinks that they're better than the other for making it easy for folks to get in. So we're trying to get them in alignment so that we simplify the process of accessing health insurance benefits and other benefits. Co-locating advocates, especially folks who can relate to the people who are trying to help enroll in these programs, is really critical. We also don't want to forget that people with disabilities still need assistance getting into the Social Security system. I think in healthcare, especially folks who are concerned about their costs, they're less concerned about whether the person has income. So helping disabled people to get Social Security income benefits is something we believe strongly is critical in thinking about health insurance enrollment, healthcare reform. Then working partnerships. Claire will talk about some SEAL teams that they use in San Mateo County, getting people across systems to work together around enrollments. And then working with, I never thought I'd say this because I was trained as a physician, working with attorneys, sort of medical legal partnerships. Affordable Care Act, all these changes in healthcare law are really complicated, and my colleagues on the legal side are really experts in helping people navigate what they're eligible for. So we really need to partner with our folks on the legal side.
So Dr. Ratner referred to our SEAL teams, which is one very exciting thing that we've done in San Mateo County, where we brought everyone together at a table. We meet every other month. We have our social service agency. We have our health plan. We have our mental health. We have our substance use disorder. We have our vocational rehab services. We have legal aid. We have everyone at the table. We meet a couple times, you know, every other month, and we talk about how do we get people who are eligible for benefits enrolled in benefits, and how do we keep them on benefits. And it is a fantastic partnership, and it only happens because we meet regularly and we're all committed to this. We've been able to figure out how to target those homeless clients and our substance use clients who are notoriously uncovered and hard to track down. They don't go to some other place when you say go over there and register. We have developed streamlined processes where we can enroll them and streamlined processes to figure out how to address the issue around lack of photo ID, birth certificate, and other requirements in order to enroll in benefits. So, again, just find a bunch of people that care about it, sit down with them, and strategize. You'll find solutions. They really are there. Episode 5, our workforce. When we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people flooding into health coverage who never were covered before, I can tell you what's going to happen. They're going to be calling at primary care to get appointments. They're going to be wanting to access substance use treatment and get mental health services because they had never were able to do it. And we don't have the workforce to actually meet that need. we need to prepare now. We need to make sure not only we have enough people to serve our upcoming patients and clients, but we need to have people that speak the right language, understand the right culture. So we need to have culturally relevant and appropriate providers. Reach out to your schools and start building relationships now doing internships so that you can really build the workforce that you need for the future. And train your existing workforce. There's going to be some big changes, especially for substance use providers. At least the way here in California, most of our providers in my county don't know how to do billing or coding. They're reliant on their SAPD block grant, and there's a lot of changes that are coming down the line, and if they don't figure out how to do it, somebody else will. And these have been our specialty substance abuse treatment providers for years. So work with your existing workforce to make sure they're ready. We've got a bunch of lists of examples here. We're really running out of time. They're giving me two minutes here. there's a list here. You could probably actually read it yourself. So maybe what I'll do is move on to the next slide so we can cover it. But again, if you see anything, wonder what it is, come talk to me after. We're also going to be at a session, a meet and greet session later tonight, so you can come see us there too. We'll have it.
Oh, yes. More Yoda. So if no mistake you have made at losing, you are a different game you should play. So get out of the blame game and try something different. So here are some examples of things that we've done more broadly, and they've been covered. Bringing behavioral health into primary care, bringing primary care into behavioral health, medication-assisted treatment efforts, tracking people's healthcare homes. Those are all part of the new strategies we're using. You can take a look at these. Again, red is San Mateo examples. Blue is for Alameda County. If you'd like to talk to us more, you can email or call us. Episode 7 is payment, changing the way we pay for things. Money matters in healthcare, and I'm a public health person. It's hard to accept it, but money matters. So these are a list of ways in which we're looking at changing the way we pay for getting health outcomes, positive patient care experience at a reduced cost. And I think we don't really have time to go through them all.
No, we don't.
So please read them over, ask us questions, contact us outside of the session. Key 3 take-home points from the integration triad, take-home messages. Partner with accountable care organizations or individuals who are working on that. Partner with healthcare homes in your area. The force is with you, all of you. Remember that I've been through many exercises where we get together and we say, clean the slate, imagine a healthcare system if you were designing it from scratch. And lo and behold, people talk about community-based care, integrated services for ourselves and for others. Remember that we have that idea within us, we just have to make it happen. And then remember to start with your Luke Skywalkers. If you start to fight with Darth Vader, you'll lose energy quickly until you build up your capacity to handle it and your collective will to tackle some big challenges. And always in motion, the future is. So accept change. And then you may have your target over here and you might need to adjust it. So that's the end of our presentation. Thanks.
Thank you. The last 3 triad I think is good for everyone in the room. And also the other thing I want to encourage you to think of is to think of this list of episodes as a checklist that in your role as a policy person, a researcher, and a high-level administrator, you want to support this level of intervention so that it can happen on the local level. This is actually constructed this in a very practical way. In order to make healthcare reform work, we need people at the local level to be able to do their job. And these are the kind of opportunities that they need to be able to move through. So practice collaboratives, things that don't cost a lot of money, but when you need to redo the culture, are important. I wanted to reintroduce Shannon Mace and Kathy Garoche. They have a couple of things they want to share with you. But Kathy, you want to leave?
Okay, so you're mostly still here, that's a good sign. We wanted to talk about, Jane and I from the mental health section, I'm from ACLD, we wanted to talk about advocacy in your role. If you listen to all 3 presentations, these are some of the key words you heard. Tune into your state, immediate agenda, key traditional, non-traditional partners, advocacy was repeated throughout. planning and coordination, collaboration, integration. All of that takes all of you. And so what needs to happen, and we saw from the beginning that we have researchers, policy people, administration, and direct service people here. There's opportunities. Almost all of this is now happening at the state level. There's clearly the Coalition for Whole Health is looking at our national perspective, but the action, the policies, what you care about, medication-assisted treatment, other number of pharmacy prescriptions for mental health, whatever it is happening in your state. If you're not sure where to look, all states pretty much have one type of an association or another. Usually they're siloed into mental health and addiction, but hopefully one day they'll be brought together. So looking to your state is key. Getting involved. We're going to continue this discussion. You have these flyers on your seat that we have a continued networking discussion on health reform and how you can get involved from 6 to 7 tonight in the Marriott Marquis Pacific F. Hopefully, if any of our speakers can join us, we're going to have a few minutes for Q&A now, but you can have some continued discussion. And we have another session tomorrow on partnership development across the ACA and the Mental Health Parity Addiction Act. The key about that act is bringing mental health and addiction into it is it's not been implemented. The rules have not been written at the federal level. So nothing is for sure. We have a lot of uncertainties next week. So with that, I'm going to have Shannon talk to you about the other document that you had on resources for you to get involved in.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for coming. We really hope that we can continue this discussion beyond today. You'll see on the resource chart that we provided, my email address is there, so if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. There were two or three pink sheets floating around. If you can locate them and provide your email address, this is the way that we're going to get information out to you. We'll send this chart electronically, so you can just click the link rather than try to retype it into your browser. The presenters may want to share their presentations as well, and we can get those out to you. And going forward, we're hoping through the mental health and ASAP sections that we'll have a way to interface through the web and keep everyone up to date, since this information is rapidly changing.
Thank you. All right. So we clearly had an intention to be practical and to go beyond, the time we're spending together today. We have time, if you'd like, for 5 minutes of questions. We've got the man standing at the back and then the woman with the zebra.
Yeah. So
speak up loud.
Well, I'm just sort of curious, how many people are here with female health? Female health members. Thank you. So very few, right? I hear the talk about silos all the time, and how silos have to come down, and that people have to partner better. But then when I look out at community mental health centers, they've had a good 30 years of being starved, and in the last 5 years, they've been decimated in many states. In my state, they're so under fire, it's very hard for them to partner with anyone. And so I wonder, do you have any suggestions or thoughts? Because partnership really implies that the partners will be
your question, please.
Equals. Is there any suggestion about how to strengthen female health centers and to make them legitimate partners in all the things that you're talking about? Because right now they're not.
Ron has an idea?
One of the obvious things is have a community mental health center become a federally qualified health center or a federally qualified health center lookalike.
That was taken off the board under ACA. That was part of ACA, and then it was not included in the final thing. So they didn't
no, but then you can go ahead and do that today, that the ACA will not work that one way or the other. Mary Wakefield, who's the administrative person, will be very happy to work with you on that, basically.
Ron knows. Have faith in him. He's our Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah, good.
And this question is for Dr. Manderscheid. What is the difference between the health exchanges where they need to be October 1st, 2013, and January 1st, 2014? It sounds to me like they have to be ready by October 1st and then operational.
Yes, exactly. So what the secretary will be looking for, which is what I said earlier, by January 1st of 2014, 2013. Can a state be expected to be ready to be operational by October 1st to begin enrolling people so their insurance can begin on January 1st of 2014? And as I said also, only a quarter of the states are currently actively working on this. There's a lot are waiting to see what's going to happen in the election and so forth.
Thank you. Another one? Yes, go ahead.
I just had a quick question. I'm from New York State, living in New York City, and we recently were able to obtain Medicaid data, and I'm wondering if that's a good place to start in terms of analyzing it for advocacy purposes, or to, because the presentation dropped really amazing vibes on your need and how impactful it is, cost and all that. So I'm wondering if that seems like a good place to start.
Are some of our national or state people? And does anyone have a comment on that?
I would just also suggest that you look at that basis of Medicaid. That will give you some ideas on how to look at your local data. Because that is national data. It's not just California. And you'll get a lot of ideas about what you need to do with your local data.
Okay.
Tell the strong story.
Another data linkage here, the National Health Interview Survey, which is operated by the National Center for Health Statistics, has 30,000 new cases per year. Those 30,000 cases are linked to Medicaid and Medicare data now. So you can look both at the health conditions that people have, the care they get, you can relate that to their enrollment in Medicaid and their expenditures in Medicaid and their enrollment and expenditures in Medicare.
Okay. We have time for one more question. Oh, go ahead.
Just on the use of data, I wanted to share from my experience, it's important to know where the costs are located. We talk about reducing costs, but ultimately, the people who are in charge of a particular organization or department want to know, is it their cost?
Mm-hmm.
So when you analyze Medicaid data, be thoughtful about whose costs you're looking at. Is it the state? Is it the county level? And those are the types of data you want to bring to those conversations.
Okay, I'm going to push it and allow for one more question in this big session. Go ahead.
Would any of these collaborations that you all are talking about include private, not-for-profit healthcare providers, hospitals, whatever. Are we talking primarily about the public?
No, well, ours is mostly publicly funded, but it includes community-based organizations, and it also includes the health plans that some of them are public, some of them are private, so they're both included.
And providers. We have providers.
We have primary care providers.
Well, I don't know if we have primary care associations. I don't know if we have any provider, but I know we have mental health.
Let's continue the answer up here. Thank you, everyone, for attending. And we'll be getting back to you through the email.